Just before you start listening to this podcast, a reminder that we have a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as a £20 Amazon voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, Spectator's daily and these days more than daily politics podcast. With under a week to go until polling day, tonight we'll see the final, I suppose, of the big television moments as Jeremy Corbyn and Boris Johnson meet in a head-to-head debate on the BBC. We'll be bringing you a podcast after that happens, but for now in the build-up, James, we've seen Jeremy Corbyn try to get on the front foot in his campaign this morning, revealing a document which he says shows that Boris Johnson has not been telling the truth on his Brexit plans and what it means for relations between Northern Ireland and the rest of the United Kingdom. Can you tell us about that?
So he has got a document saying that this proves that there would need to be kind of customs declarations filled out, that there would be forms filled in, something that Boris Johnson has kind of consistently said there won't be. I mean, there are two problems with this as an electoral strategy. First of all, rather shamefully, I think most British voters don't particularly care about Northern Ireland. And so I don't think the idea that this Brexit deal would have that impact on Northern Ireland, I don't think that's going to change many voters' behaviour. And I think the second problem is, for those voters who do care about Northern Ireland, they remember how Jeremy Corbyn behaved during the Troubles, you know, inviting an IRA bomber to Parliament shortly after the Brighton bomb and other such activities. So I think that is the problem for Jeremy Corbyn, which is, you know, you've got Boris Johnson saying, on the one hand, I've got this a Brexit deal and it's ready to go. And you've got Jeremy Corbyn saying, well, it means more paperwork for Northern Ireland. I don't think it quite has the same emotional resonance.
Sure, but just to be clear before we get, I suppose, on the political ramifications, do these documents show that Boris Johnson has been loose with the truth on what his deal means for Northern Ireland?
I think what these documents show is that unless the UK and the EU negotiate further in this joint committee about how to handle this, there will have to be forms filled in, which is something that Boris Johnson has consistently said he won't. And it's kind of one of his kind of classic kind of Boris Johnson kind of bulldozering. He says, oh, no, there won't be forms. I think at the moment, unless there is some change, there will be forms.
And Fraser, does this have the risk, whether or not Northern Ireland is a motivating voter issue, of playing into, I think, what has been a growing theme in this election, which is trustworthiness and Boris Johnson and the fact that lots of voters do not think they can necessarily trust what he is saying?
Yes, I think this has turned into the single biggest weapon used against Boris Johnson, that you can't trust what he says. Now, this is quite dangerous for him because so much has been taken on trust. He's asking Brexit Party voters to trust him that he will do this deal, that he will get a good deal, a proper Brexit deal after the end of next year. He's asking Labour Party voters to trust him that his party has changed, that he'll be spending a lot more on this, that, and the next thing. And if the attacks are saying, actually, he betrayed the DUP over the Brexit deal, so what makes you think he wouldn't betray you on the NHS? That is quite damaging. Of course, this was exactly the argument put by Andrew Neil in his three-minute monologue at the end of his Nigel Farage interview last night. That clip has made the news, and it's going around. And I think that, in a funny way, it's almost more potent than anything the Labour Party could come up with, because he lists all of Boris Johnson's weak points. And also, these are the questions that Boris Johnson is conspicuously not turning up to answer in his interview.
And let's listen to that clip here.
And that concludes our fourth leader's interview for the general election of 2019. There is, of course, still one to be done. Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister. It is not too late. We have an interview prepared, oven ready, as Mr. Johnson likes to say. The theme running through our questions is trust, and why at so many times in his career in politics and journalism, critics and sometimes even those close to him have deemed him to be untrustworthy. But the Prime Minister of our nation will at times have to stand up to President Trump, President Putin, President Xi of China. So it was surely not expecting too much that he spent half an hour standing up to me.
James, do you think this could be a game-changing moment? I suppose, you know, a lot of people say the question of whether or not Boris Johnson is going to be interviewed by a specific presenter, in this case Andrew Neil, could be a bubble issue because not all voters pay too much attention to who's giving which interview. And perhaps it lives more on Twitter, the criticism over this. But ultimately, it's now been aired on television, you have Andrew Neil very clearly explain to camera what he thinks are troubling issues with scrutiny relating to the current Prime Minister. And it does appear to be spreading very quickly online. So do you think that this is going to put more pressure, ooh, even if Boris Johnson doesn't agree to the interview, I suppose, give him quite a lot of negative publicity?
I think it does give a lot of negative publicity. I think it was on prime time in BBC One last night. It was then on the 10 o'clock news. You know, this is big news on the BBC website, as you say. It is, and Fraser was saying, it has been shared. Lots of people are seeing it. And I think it does speak to this trust issue. I think when you talk to people inside the Tory campaign, their hope is that, you know, their hope is not to win the argument on trust, but just to persuade voters that he's no worse on trust than every other politician, which is
high bar.
No, I know. It is a remarkable thing.
But I tell you what was damaging about this. When I was in West Bromwich earlier on this week, I was talking to a lot of voters who were saying that all politicians are just the same. We're not going to vote. We can't trust them. Now, the whole point of Boris Johnson was he was supposed to be different. He was supposed to be this big character that would make people think he's not like the other politicians. He is different. He is somebody who does and says things in a very different way. But he hasn't quite come across that way. It's very dangerous for him to say or to be seen as to be basically no more or less trustworthy than any other politician. People of his sort of entrepreneurial political style can break through only if they seem to be unlike everybody else. So you might say, okay, we don't like his style very much, but you can trust him on what he says. For his, I wouldn't call him a populist, but his sort of tear up the rules style of politics, it's hugely important that he is seen to do what he says. And if that is being taken away from him during this campaign, that makes me a lot more nervous about the result of this election. Because if Boris Johnson isn't seen as being trustworthy, then he will struggle to get those who are exasperated with all political parties through the ballot box door on Thursday next week.
James, is this one of the reasons that despite the polls, perhaps this election is harder to predict than some make out? Because yes, the margins are very slim in all these areas, but it doesn't feel as though look at various focus groups, listen to what people are saying on this election. There is a party that is generating that much enthusiasm amongst the public. It seems to be, a choice of lesser evils. And on Boris Johnson, it's very clear the Brexit message, but it seems as though people are being faced with, you might not trust him, but he's your best chance to get this done. And the Tories don't seem to be doing too much to address the former issue.
Yeah, I think this election is unpredictable for several reasons. First of all, as James Kangasorium, the pollster, points out in a very good post on Coffee House, the margins between a fairly big Tory majority and a hung parliament are very slim. Secondly, I think, as you so rightly put it, Katie, that there is a question here, which is, that even those people are going to vote for Boris Johnson to get Brexit done, in inverted commas. That is the success of Tory messaging. But I don't mean they're going to go to the polling station with a song in their heart. I think it's more a kind of, we've just got to do this. And I think the other unpredictable element is the Tory strategy relies on winning places they have not won in generations. And I think one of the reasons why the Tories have held back all their Facebook advertising, it's only really started yesterday, is because they worry about some last-minute jitters. That, when those people walk into the polling station, in the cliched attempt, their finger hovers above the box and then they think of their grandfather or their father and they think of the moral disapproval of their family for voting for the Tories, and they ultimately can't do it. So I think those are the reasons why this election remains unpredictable. And I think in a way, it is a remarkable thing that we are all sitting here talking about this election as, if a Martian arrived from outer space right now and you just showed them the kind of the objective data, I don't think they would be having the conversation we're having. But I think actually the conversation we're having is justified because of all those last minute ingredients that that could tip things one way or the other. And I think tonight's debate is very important because from Boris Johnson's point of view, it's what enables him to change the conversation from this chicken point. But from Jeremy Corbyn's point of view, this is his last chance to get it going. This is his last chance, and in a way, he's got nothing left to lose, and an opponent who's got nothing left to lose is always a dangerous opponent.
I met this guy in West Bromwich who's saying that he believes in Tory principles, he trusts Boris Johnson, but he could not vote Tory because of what his mum and dad would think. Now, what was striking was this guy was 90 years old. His mum and dad were long gone. He was sort of pointing towards the heavens when he said he couldn't do it because of what they'd think. But, you know, if you've got voters who are so dyed-in-the-wool with Labour that they're worried about beyond-the-grave reproach from their parents, this is a sort of anti-Tory force which, as you say, James, does defy the opinion polls. It's cultural, it's visceral. This is, as Katie was the first to put it, the red wall. And it is, you know, there is no way of objectively ascertaining right now just how far up that red wall the Tories are.
Yeah, I remember when I was in Glasgow phoning Paul Masterson about and meeting a Leave voter who ultimately didn't like Jeremy Corbyn and wanted Brexit to be Livid and didn't mind some of the things that Boris Johnson was saying, but just said they couldn't do it because of the thought of his grandparents moving in their graves. So it does seem to be a familiar thing. But you are also hearing a lot of places where the strategy does appear to be working. And I think that if you speak to, you know, figures in the Labour Party, it's particularly in the North and the Midlands where they are very worried about how it's going to play out. I was speaking to one Conservative MP this week who has been on the campaign trail across the country and was saying that it was a very strange thing in this election because they'd found that the further north they go, the better the reception and the more friendly people were. So if they were in the south of England, not so much, and further up. So that does suggest that it's getting some form of fruition.
I think if you look at this from a historical perspective, Brexit is a big enough event to realign British politics. And I think you actually, if you want to kind of argue that the Tory strategy is working, if you look at the kind of the convoluted nature of Labour's Brexit position, shows that they know the dangers of this. You know, I don't think Jeremy Corbyn would be announcing this policy of adopting neutrality in any second referendum if he didn't think that this Brexit issue was cutting through and resonating. And I think we come back to this point of trust. I think the danger for Labour is that the failure to deliver on the referendum result has combined with a sense of MPs looking down on their voters. And I mean, that is what the Tories are quite effectively tapping into. And also, I think the other thing which is helping them is that Boris Johnson is not seen as a traditional Tory. I think one of the things that is very striking is how many people say that they're voting Boris rather than voting Tory. I think it is a kind of, he is a kind of gateway drug to voting for the Tory party. And I mean, you know, you can say that, oh, on the day when these people turn up in the ballot box, there won't be a box of Boris Johnson's name on it. But I think he has successfully detached himself from the brand a bit. Oh. And I think that you see again in this campaign, you know, the Tories always talk about Corbyn's Labour. I mean, they always talk about Boris Johnson. And I mean, that is an attempt to try and deal with these brand issues. That, you know, the resonance of a Labour brand, by attaching Corbyn's name to it, you hope to diminish some of that. And by talking about Boris Johnson rather than the Tory party, to kind of make it easier for those voters to come over.
I have to say that during this campaign, I don't really feel that Boris Johnson as a character has been projected very forcefully or very vividly. I mean, you're quite right, James. People say that people like Boris get stopped in the streets. I mean, he's got this sort of personal star factor, but that star doesn't seem to have shone very brightly in this campaign. I think the safety first strategy means that he hasn't had very many outings. He's had a couple of speeches where he's made some good points. I guess his oven ready joke is a theme of the campaign. But the Tories have posed here as the Get Brexit Done party. I've noticed how quite often the word Conservative isn't even on their literature. It just says Get Brexit Done. Now that makes sense if you're going for Brexit party voters. But the kind of effervescence Boris Johnson character is one that I feel could have been projected a lot more in this campaign than it has been. Now, perhaps they are fighting for last campaign, but I think they were too presidential with Theresa May. Perhaps they think that Boris Johnson is too divisive and would go down badly in the South for all that he wins in the North. And perhaps he will be able to really sort of do a who dares wins strategy in the last few days of this campaign, as he did in the Vote Leave campaign. But right now, if the Tories don't get the result they want, then I would point to a lack of Boris as a character as being a factor there. But mind you, I'm mindful I said this about the 2015 campaign, and Lynton Crosby pointed out isn't the campaigns aren't there for the entertainment of journalists, they're there to get messages through to voters. And the more boring we journalists find it, perhaps the surer the Tory victory will be. I guess we'll find out next week.
Well, we will see tonight if we see a different side of Boris Johnson in the head-to-head debate. So do join us then. Thank you, Fraser. Thank you, James.